I'm Matt Bush for BPR News. Joining me for the final conversation between us on record for 2020 is Dr. Chris Cooper, Western Carolina University political science professor and all-around good guy. Chris, thank you so much for joining us.
Always enjoy talking to you, Matt. Thanks.
One major thing that'll come up this year is redistricting. We basically spent the entire last decade fighting over this in North Carolina, and at the end came to a map that may have been used just one time. So going forward in 2021, tell us about the redistricting process, how it might go this year, and what are some of the twists and turns we may see as it is created here in North Carolina, and really the stakes too.
Yeah, the stakes are huge, right? So just to back up a notch, I think you're exactly right. I mean, the last decade has been defined by redistricting lawsuits and conversations. And really in North Carolina, it's been multiple decades long. It has shifted some. The playing field used to really be on racial lines, and it has moved to partisan lines over the last few years. But we've always been defined by redistricting battles and gerrymandering battles in North Carolina. The teams have switched, but in some ways the rhetoric remains very, very similar. So in North Carolina, we have the General Assembly that draws these lines. So they are drawing lines for Congress, of course, but they're also drawing lines for themselves in the General Assembly. And unlike many states, our governor cannot veto these plans. So in some states, the General Assembly comes up with it, the governor can veto it, and then it goes back to the General Assembly. Not so in North Carolina. We are the last state in the country to give the governor veto power. And when we gave the governor veto power, we did not give it to him over redistricting. And in the grand irony of North Carolina politics, the person who authored that bill that ultimately gave the governor veto power but not over redistricting was a General Assembly member named Roy Cooper, who, of course, is the same Roy Cooper who now holds the governor's seat in North Carolina. So they will redraw these maps. At the congressional level, it looks like we're going to get an additional member of Congress. So right now we have 13 members of Congress in North Carolina. We've had that since the early 2000s, and we're going to go most likely to 14 members of Congress. So in addition to redrawing lines to equalize population, they're also going to redraw lines to include this new district. In the General Assembly, there are 170 seats, 50 in the Senate, and 120 in the House. We're not going to add any more seats there, but those are going to be redrawn as well. So this will be a protracted battle that will continue on for a while and will almost certainly involve litigation.
Terrific. I mean that sarcastically. I'm sure everybody's just all excited for more litigation over this.
Right.
Where might this new district be? Obviously, all of North Carolina has seen population increases, even out here in the West, but where might this new district be centered?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think most bets say that it would be in the triad or the triangle. Most likely, that's where we've seen the biggest population increase. But I think it's important for folks to remember that the attention is going to be on the one that is numbered 14, certainly. But all of the other lines are going to have to be redrawn to make population equality, right? So we have to have, within a very small tolerance, the same number of folks in every district. So once you create this 14th district, even if you stick it in the triad or the triangle or somewhere else, it's going to have a ripple effect, like chucking a big rock into a small pond that is going to ripple out and affect all of the districts in North Carolina, probably including the 11th.
How might it impact the 11th? Obviously, we've spent the whole last decade. This is one of the most gerrymandered seats was the 11th over the last decade. So how might it impact the 11th? Are we going to see any sort of repeat of the last map, which cut Asheville in half? Is that a possibility, or did some of the lawsuits and legal decisions and legal verdicts prevent such a gerrymander from happening again?
Yeah, it's a great question. We don't know is the short answer. I think it is unlikely that they will split Buncombe County again. We're supposed to minimize county splits, but there is no kind of lockstep way in which they have to do this. So we're all kind of speculating. I think most of the speculation centers around the eastern counties, maybe some of the northeastern counties, to shave those off. Again, once you include another district, we're going to have to reduce the population in the 11th. It certainly is not going to come from the far western part of the state. So your Cherokee counties and your Graham counties, your Jackson counties and Macons are certainly going to stay. So it is possible that it would carve out Buncombe. I think it is unlikely, but we've seen some really some odd-looking district lines in North Carolina before. We might see them again.
And how much does it matter for the partisan makeup of the congressional delegation? So much was talked about with the 11th now being whole last year. Republican Madison Cawthorn won it just as easily as Mark Meadows has ever won it when it was gerrymandered. So does it really matter? Certainly in the West, but does it matter in other parts of the state too?
Yeah, I think it does matter, right? So when the congressional map was redrawn, the conventional wisdom was that the Democrats would gain back two more seats, that we would go from a 10-3 Republican to Democrat majority to 8-5. And if you look at the totals, that is exactly what happened. The Democrats gained two seats in our congressional delegation. That's really not explainable by anything other than the way the lines were drawn. So I think it will absolutely still matter. If we're closer to home in the 11th congressional district, we went from the most Republican district in the state to one that was somewhere near the middle of the pack. Then in 2016, about 57% of people in our district voted for Donald Trump. So yes, Madison Cawthorn won. He tracked very, very well with the Donald Trump vote. It really did go kind of as expected. So if I took any lesson away from 2020, it's that partisanship ruled the day once again. And I think that actually reinforces how much redistricting does matter.